Hey guys, I'm happy to announce a partnership with Reformation Heritage Books. Do you want to start reading the Puritans but just don't know where to begin? Puritan Treasures for Today from Reformation Heritage Books makes the riches of these godly writers of old accessible for the modern reader. With updated language and helpful instructions, these classic works from John Owen, Jeremiah Burroughs, and more are the perfect starting point for the curious reader. Learn more about the Puritan Treasures for Today at heritagebooks.org/puritantreasures. Use coupon code SHEPHERDS for 10% off your order. That's heritagebooks.org/puritantreasures. Coupon code SHEPHERDS. Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. This ministry exists to provide coaching, resources, and events for pastors and church members. My name is Jared Sparks. Join me as I talk pastoral ministry, applied theology like manhood and womanhood, political theology, and cultural analysis with a little bit of hunting and fishing thrown in. I'm a husband, a father, and a pastor, and I'm here to remind you of the chief pastor and our King, Jesus. Hello and welcome back to the show. Hope you guys are doing well today. We are going to be in the London Baptist Confession chapter 8 today, talking about Christ, our mediator, but we're going to, as usual, cover a couple things before we get going. So let's go ahead and pray and ask for the Lord's help, and then we will get into our content for the day. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time. I ask for blessing upon it. Thank you for all you're doing in our lives. Here's a family. I thank you for my listeners. Thank you for our church family and all that you're doing. God, you're always at work, and we're thankful for it. God, we thank you even for this election season. Election season is always crazy, but we trust, God, that you're going to work. God, I ask that Donald Trump would win as president. God, I pray that we would move in the right direction as a country. God, I ask for repentance to be granted to him and to J.D. Vance and in a greater measure and degree that they are already. It seems like there is this cursory acknowledgement that, Jesus, you are King. But God, I pray that that would even go deeper in their life and their heart. And Lord Jesus, for this country, I just ask for a widespread revival. God, I pray from the top down or the bottom up that you would work powerfully, or even both and, work powerfully in this nation, starting in our households and working out from there. God, help us to honor you. And for the single folks listening out there, God, I pray that they would trust in you, they would honor you, and that you would bring them quickly a spouse that would also honor you and love doing what you've called them to do. And then, God, that you would build and grow households that would honor you all across this land. And right now, God, I pray, I just thank you so much that we have a mediator between you and man. And Jesus, thank you for your work on our behalf. And we just ask for blessing upon this time as we rest in the finished work of Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Okay. Welcome. Very excited to talk about chapter 8 of the London Baptist Confession today. But first, I just want to talk about my birthday day that was last week. I turned 41 years old. And it was really a wonderful day. It's a day that I want to repeat over and over and over again. My plan is to have the exact same birthday, well, kind of like birthday party, for the rest of my life. And here's what it is. It's pretty amazing. First, we go to Bald Knob Cross as a family, and that's a lookout point in our area in Southern Illinois where you can look out over to Missouri, and you can just see it's kind of the tallest like little mountain in Southern Illinois. It's beautiful. So I love doing that. We go out as a family, and then we ended up, it's like a perfect time for foliage as well. So we love foliage drives. And at the end of October, the last week of October in Southern Illinois is just peak beauty when it comes to the leaves changing colors. It's amazing. So we're up there. We do that viewing, have a great time. We come home, and then we watch Top Gun Maverick, which is my favorite movie of all time. There's so many elements to that movie and layers to that movie that just make it just an amazing show, from the soundtrack to the history of the relationship between Maverick and Goose, and then Rooster and the new one. Just love that show. In fact, I'm going to be doing a series actually talking about the pursuit of power and glory, because there's a really interesting dynamic in that film that got me thinking about momentary glory, which would be when Maverick is selected as team lead to go on the mission and has to select his team, and then he has to go and tell Penny that he's going out on mission as team lead. And most likely, this is a mission to his death. And everyone in his life, even though that's a small circle at that point, knows that he's the man that's got to do it. Penny recognizes that he has to do this. This is his momentary glory. This is how every man wants to die, in a moment of glory, or at the end of their life after living a godly life, a life of power and glory for the good of others. At the end of their life with their wife and their children and grandchildren all surrounding them. So you want one death or the other. Me and Brandon were talking about that recently. One of my co-elders and friends. And so there's this momentary glory in this movie where this moment where Maverick knows he has to go and he's the man for the job, and you step up into that. And I think watching that, I can't help but be moved, because every man lives for that kind of moment where you're the one that has to come through. You have the ability to do what's necessary, and then you have to do what's going to, it's so important that everyone knows in your life that you have to do this mission, even though it's probably going to cost you your life. There's something there that's just wired into the heart of a man that just is, that movie and that scene in particular just pulls it out of you, along with the soundtrack going along with it. But momentary glory that men live for, that want to live and die, you know, in this moment that is just a moment of honor. And that movie is just filled with honor, especially even when, you know, Iceman dies, and the honor there is just, it's just all the way through. It's just an incredible show. And then what you see at the end is that you see this relationship that Maverick has with Rooster, and how he's this father figure for Rooster. And it seems like then from this point on, at least how the movie leaves you, is that there's this relationship here where you have a man honoring his best friend by being a father to his son, and that son recognizing that this is now a father figure in my life. And what you see is over a lifetime, then you can see that you can live for glory. Even if you don't have that moment of life or death where you just die in glory, you can live a life that you look back on, and you can pursue the kind of life that everyone around you knows there's this man is holy. This is the kind of man that's different. You know, here's the kind of man that sons want to be like, that grandsons revere, that great grandsons hear stories about. And that's the kind of man you want to be. And so I'm going to be doing an episode series along with the series as we're continuing to go through the confession. I'm going to be doing an episode talking about the pursuit of glory, momentary glory, and then glory and power over a lifetime. How do you pursue power and glory in a way that honors the Lord and that's good for other people? Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about. Very excited about that.
Hey guys, I want to tell you about Rise Nutrition. It's located in Anna, Illinois, right here in Southern Illinois. Their mission is to empower the community through wellness. They do this through providing clean supplements and education. Rise provides monthly education seminars about a variety of topics, from how to build macros, the best pre-workout for fitness goals, what vitamins to take as we get older, and so much more. For the local listeners, they have a full-time nutritionist on site, and that's something that no other supplement store is doing in Southern Illinois. They also have fresh fruit smoothies that are made with clean products. For the non-locals, it can be hard to find clean supplements. The crew at Rise Nutrition can help you get the best and the cleanest stuff to help you get strong. Stop buying from the other guys and go to risenutrition.shop and use the coupon code SHEPHERDS10 for 10% off online or in-store. On another note, two of our elders train at Rise Performance Gym with our good buddy, preacher man, Joey Hawkins. So if you are looking for a gym, head on over to Rise.
And by the way, that movie just kind of made things come together for me. So I'd been thinking about that and formulating that for a while. And then some pieces came together. So really, really looking forward to that. After we watch Top Gun Maverick, we go to the airport, St. Nick's Brewery, which is my favorite restaurant. It's just a great place. It's got great drinks. It's got really good food. And you're at an airport. After watching Top Gun, you sit in an airport. And here's my hope. I'm hoping when I'm an old man, Lord willing, I've got my kids and my grandkids, and we have this exact same birthday where we keep going to Bald Knob Cross. We go home and watch Top Gun Maverick, and then we go out to, and this is, I think, year three or four of doing this, whenever it was that Top Gun came out. So it was awesome. Loved it. And I tell you what, 40s are great. I love my decade of the 40s, and it's just a lot of fun, and God's doing some great things. So let's get into the London Baptist Confession, Chapter 8. It's been 2 or 3 weeks since we've been in this confession. It follows in line with the Westminster Standards. There is a few differences in here. We're not going to go through these. What I've decided is that we're going to only highlight the major chapter differences, or when there's a difference in chapters altogether going forward rather than going back and forth. There are a few differences here. I think there's only 5 paragraphs in chapter 8 of the Westminster Standards. And here we're looking at 10 paragraphs. I think there's actually 8 paragraphs in here. Let me just open it up. I'm right here. It's right here. Let's see. There is in chapter 8, there's 8. And then there's 10 in the London Baptist Confession. So that's what we're going to go through today. Christ the mediator. There is one mediator between God and man. It's not the Pope. It's not the saints that have gone before us or even presently. There is no priest that can stand as the high priest between God and man that can get us to God. This is Jesus, our great high priest, who is our only mediator. So let's just work through this. We'll work through one paragraph at a time. It pleased God in his eternal purpose to choose and ordain the Lord Jesus, his only begotten Son, according to the covenant made between them both. This is the eternal covenant. To be the mediator between God and man, the prophet, priest, and king, head and savior of his church, the heir of all things, to judge the world, unto whom he did from all eternity give people to be his seed, and to be by him in time redeemed, called, justified, sanctified, and glorified. Whoa. Talk about a content-loaded paragraph. It's incredible. We get to the eternal covenant. We get Jesus as the prophet, priest, and king. So if you look at these different pieces in the Old Testament, Jesus is the greater prophet. So Moses, priest, Aaron, and Melchizedek, then King David. Think about Solomon. Jesus is the greater of all of those. He is the prophet, priest, and king. And he is the head and savior of his church. So talk about loaded with ecclesiology as well. He is the heir of all things, is the judge of the world, and there is a people given to him, people to his seed, and by him in time then, he will redeem, call, justify, sanctify, and glorify them. What an amazing first paragraph. Christ, our mediator. Second paragraph, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, the Holy Trinity. Now we're talking about the hypostatic union here as we get into this paragraph. Second person of the Holy Trinity, being very and eternally God, the brightness of the Father's glory, of one substance and equal with him who made the world, who upholdeth and governeth all things he hath made, did in the fullness of his time was come, take upon him man's nature with all the essential properties and common infirmities thereof, yet without sin, being conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary, the Holy Spirit coming down upon her, the power of the Most High overshadowing her, and so was made of a woman of the tribe of Judah, the seed of Abraham and David, according to the Scriptures, so that two whole, perfect, and distinct natures were inseparably joined together in one person without conversion, composition, or confusion. Which person is very God and very man, yet one Christ, the only mediator between God and man. And that's going to be critical, that paragraph's critical, as we continue to build in this chapter. Paragraph 3, the Lord Jesus in his human nature, thus united to the divine, in the person of the Son, was sanctified and anointed with the Holy Spirit above measure, having in him all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, in whom it was pleased the Father all fullness should dwell. It pleased the Father that all the fullness should dwell to the end, that being wholly harmless, undefiled, and full of grace and truth, he might be thoroughly furnished to execute the office of mediator and surety. Think about this office. Jesus holds the office of mediator and surety. Which office he took not upon himself, but was thereunto called by his Father, who put all power and judgment in his hands and gave him commandment to execute the same. We have a sure and steady anchor. He is our surety and mediator. Excuse me. Paragraph 4. The office of the Lord Jesus did most willingly undertake, which this office he did most willingly undertake, which that he might discharge, he was made under the law and did perfectly fulfill it. This is the active obedience of Christ, fulfilling the law on our behalf. He not only died a substitutionary death, but he lived a substitutionary life as fully God and fully man. This is the man, Christ Jesus, the God-man, Christ Jesus, who lived God's law perfectly on behalf of real men and underwent the punishment due us. So perfectly fulfill the law. There's his life and here's his death. The punishment due us, which we should have borne and suffered. He died in our place, being made sin and a curse for us, enduring most grievous sorrows in his soul and most painful sufferings in his body, was crucified and died and remained in the state of the dead, yet saw no corruption. On the third day, he arose from the dead with the same body in which he suffered, with which he also ascended into heaven, and there sitteth at the right hand of the Father, making intercession, and shall return to judge men and angels at the end of the world. So this mediator is also making intercession for us, and he will return at the end of the world. He saw no corruption. Paragraph 5, the Lord Jesus, by his perfect obedience and sacrifice of himself, which he, through the eternal Spirit, once offered up unto God hath fully satisfied the justice of God, procured reconciliation, and purchased an everlasting inheritance in the kingdom of heaven for all those whom the Father has given to himself. There is just unsearchable riches, like it says in paragraph one, or paragraph two, I believe, unsearchable riches here that, or paragraph three, that we can just mine and dig. And there's treasure to be found in this kind of thing when you have all this source material from the scriptures, and there's all these footnotes talking about God in God's word, Jesus, our mediator, our intercessor. It's just incredible. He procured reconciliation for us, an everlasting inheritance in the kingdom of heaven for those whom the Father has given unto him. Brothers and sisters, beloved, that's us. That's the elect. That's God's people. It's awesome. Paragraph six, although the price of redemption was not actually paid by Christ till after his incarnation, yet the virtue, efficacy, and benefit thereof were communicated to the elect in all ages successively from the beginning of the world, in and by those promises, types, and sacrifices wherein he was revealed and signified to be the seed of the woman which should bruise the serpent's head, and the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, being the same yesterday, today, and forever. So this is the retroactive work of Christ. So even though the actual propitiation, even though the actual redemption was not actually paid until Christ did live and die and then resurrected, so the incarnation forward, still, there's a retroactive work. The eternal Savior, and this is how amazing these promises and types in the Old Testament were effective because of a future work. Paragraph 7, Christ in the work of mediation acteth according to both natures, by each nature doing that which is proper to itself, yet by reason of the unity of the person, that which is proper to the one nature is sometimes in Scripture attributed to the person dominated by the other nature. This helps us understand, as we look at this, the dual natures of Christ, and also helps us to not make the mistake of saying things like, for instance, like the references here, John 3:13, Acts 20 and 28, that's which he purchased with his own blood, but it actually references the Holy Spirit. So talking about the divine nature of Christ in Acts 20, when you get to passages in John 4 where Jesus is hungry, and we recognize that in that, Jesus was fully man, but he was still fully God. It wasn't saying that, like God gets hungry kind of thing. Okay, paragraph 8. To all those whom Christ hath obtained eternal redemption, he doth certainly and effectively apply and communicate the same, making intercession for them. This is the piece of particular redemption that an intercessory work of Christ on behalf of the beloved, those whom he redeemed, that James White appeals to regularly from Hebrews. And it's right here in this confession. He doth certainly and effectively apply and communicate the same, making intercession for them. Who's he making intercession for? Those who have been obtained by eternal redemption. If you have been purchased by Christ, then those who are purchased by Christ are interceded for by Christ. Jesus is making intercession for them. It's the exact same. It's a one-to-one. Whom he purchases, whom he redeems, he intercedes for, uniting them to himself by his Spirit, revealing unto them in and by the word, the mystery of salvation, persuading them to believe and obey, governing their hearts by his word and Spirit, and overcoming all their enemies by his almighty power and wisdom. In such manner and ways are the most consonant to his wonderful and unsearchable dispensation, and of all a free and absolute grace without any condition foreseen in them to procure it. This is God's grace just fully on display. I love this chapter. It's just incredible. God's grace to us is not based on anything that was foreseen in us to procure this. This is all God's grace to us. And Jesus, in redeeming us and purchasing us and interceding for us, also applies his work to us. The Holy Spirit comes and applies. But it's Jesus doing this persuasive work in us that we are persuaded to obey and to turn from our sin. And then he governs us in our hearts through the word and the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus, our head and governor. He is the head of the church, and he's now governing us in our life. And he overcomes all of our enemies. And my goodness, talk about comfort. This is why confessions like this can be so helpful practically as you read through this and think how Jesus is overcoming our enemies even as we speak. It's incredible. Chapter 9, I think I've said incredible too much, so I'm going to set that word to the side here. Paragraph 9, I mean. The office of mediator between God and man is proper only to Christ, who is the prophet, priest, and king of the church of God, and may not either in whole or in any part thereof transferred from him to any other. Jesus is and always will be the one and the only true prophet, priest, king, and mediator between God and man. We have to understand that principle. Paragraph 10. This number and order of offices is necessary, for in respect of our ignorance we stand in need of his prophetical office, in respect of our alienation from God and imperfection, the best of our services, we need his priestly office to reconcile us and present us acceptable to God, and in respect to our averseness and utter inability to return to God, and for our rescue and security from our spiritual adversaries, we need his kingly office to convince, subdue, draw, uphold, deliver, and preserve us to his heavenly kingdom. Jesus is truly the prophet, priest, and king. There are many things in here as we work through this about Christ being the only mediator that differentiates us from Rome, where we stand united to other Protestants in recognizing that Jesus is the one true mediator, that is our intercessor, that he intercedes for us. We also define ourselves biblically and differently than how Rome defines herself. And sadly, they are in rebellion to the scriptures. And the Protestants confess the truth of the scriptures that Christ is our only mediator. This is chapter 8 of the London Baptist Confession, and I am a full subscriber. I hope you guys are as well.
Thanks again for listening to the Shepherd's Crook podcast. For more information, you can go to theshepherdscrook.co. Please consider leaving a rating or review on iTunes. And if you want to become a member of the Shepherd's Crook, please message me and we'll get you on the list. We hope you have a great rest of your day.